Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, yo, what's up? It's your boy, D Starks.
Starks Artist.
You're now tuned in to the Just Different Podcast, where we talk everything faith, life, and culture. We are back here together, dynamic duo. I ain't gonna lie, I've been thinking about this. Like,
what?
In terms of brother duos, I feel like we gotta be up there, bro.
On the list?
If there's a ranking, I feel like there's the chemistry, bro.
No, I agree, because it's like, it's different, because the solo was cool. But it's like when it's both of us on the episode, I don't think it's unbeatable. It's undefeated.
That's what I'm saying. I think who else, often now.
Who else is on the list, though? Who else would even be on the list? Who,
there's like, a lot of like
Zach and Cody.
All right, bro. No, I feel there's a lot of people just in the media space that are related, that
siblings
together.
Yes,
like, of course,
I agree.
Like More Purpose, that's within our space.
Facts,
but like
facts.
The Mallory Bros.
Got you, Jake.
And Logan. And there's plenty of other people. I can't remember right now, but those are the ones on top of my head.
I lucky forgot. Yeah, I was slipping my mind. I'm like, who else is on the list?
There's a whole bunch of duos like that. But no, I was in Nashville all last week, and so that's why Jordan had to hop in Friday to do an episode, and we didn't release anything Wednesday. I was there back and forth the entire week, honestly.
Like three times, I think.
Yes, like three times. I come back here and go back down there, but honestly, it was an amazing week.
Yeah,
and
it was. It was.
I appreciated some time off to rest. So I don't know. I don't even know what you talked about.
Yo, yeah, no. I hope y'all enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? It was my first. I think it was my first solo. I was telling them it was my first time doing a solo episode. I was surprised I talked for as long as I did. But
how long was it?
It's like 27.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
All right.
Too crazy.
No, but yeah. So now that we're back, we wanted to get into something that I've kind of recently been thinking about and really stepping more into, but this idea of how to stay consistent with our relationship with God when it comes to just walking out our faith, staying disciplined in, you know, all the things we know we need to be doing and should be participating in. And the first thing that came to mind when I was thinking about this was the fact that I think at some point in our walk, God becomes more of an option than a necessity. And my first point here that I have been trying to remind myself of that's helped me with this is to reply immediately. Like, there's a sense of urgency that we need to have in prioritization that we should engage in when it comes to God and our relationship with Him. And I say that because typically whenever I'm thinking about anything related to God, I'm always going to look at it from the context of relationship. And this came up because last week I had an incredibly busy week. Like when I say, like, I was traveling from Louisville to Nashville back and forth for about 3 or 4 days. And I had actually one of my close friends that texted me, I believe, maybe early last week. And at some point his text just got lost in the thread and we were trying to get some plans together. And he was just texting me to catch up because it had been like maybe a week and a half since we talked. And at some point later throughout the week, like, he sent like the double text, but just more checking in, like, bro, like, are you good? What's going on? Because like, I usually don't take as long to reply.
Yeah.
And I felt terrible. I was like, oh my goodness. Because, you know, I've been doing so good with like staying connected and engaged with everyone and replying to messages. And I remember, like, when I did get his text earlier in the week, one thing that I did was just, you know how we typically do, like, oh, I'll get to it later.
Right, this isn't necessarily
like the biggest priority right now, but I'll just, like, you know, tuck it off in my mind for like the to-do list that throughout the week or at least the next day that I'll eventually make sure it's given its proper attention.
Right.
And that's where it came from. I was like, okay, in that moment when I got that, when I received the message, it was more of an option than a necessity. And then I put down, at some point in relationship, we get so familiar with someone, they don't get our best anymore. And I was thinking about that because I'm like, you know, typically whenever you meet someone for the first time, whether that's romantic or platonic, and you all are getting to know each other, you're speaking, you're communicating, typically, like, you're putting your best foot forward. You're wanting them to know that you care about this relationship, you're engaged with it, it's a priority to them, priority to you. And so you're replying fast whenever they call, you pick up, you know, whenever you make plans, right. you actually commit to them and you stick to your word. And then at some point throughout the relationship, as you all just like get closer and get more familiar with one another, you know, you just, it not necessarily take, it not necessarily goes on the back burner, but it doesn't necessarily get that same type of attention
right.
that it once did. So sometimes it's just like, oh, well, like they know me, they know my heart, they know how I feel about them. So like, okay, not get to the sex right now. Right. Like it's okay.
Right.
Because I feel like I've already built this rapport with them. They know our history and where we stand. So I don't have to necessarily put this best foot forward mm-hmm. all the time.
Right.
And so when I was thinking about that, I was like, oh my goodness, that is exactly how we treat God.
Mm.
I feel as we get deeper in our relationship and our faith walk, it's just, we think that it just becomes an option.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to respond with the same urgency that we did once we got saved when it comes to making sure that we're praying, we're getting in our word, we're going to church, we're staying in community. You know, like we're taking time in the quiet place to hear his voice or just mm-hmm. make sure that we're obeying the instruction that he gave us in a specific season. We think and have this mindset of like, well, he knows my heart and I'll get to it tomorrow. Like, yeah. Oh, we've done well for so long and mm-hmm. I have this pretty solid foundation, so I don't have to necessarily keep building on this.
Right.
And so when I was thinking about, okay, how to stay consistent with God, I feel that was the first thing to come up. It was basically remain urgent
mm-hmm.
and responsive.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of ways to really do that. But for me, it's like to reply immediately. Like, don't ever just get so lackadaisical or complacent with like the step that we're taking forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, like I can miss a week at church.
Right.
I don't need to necessarily get to this Bible study. Let me just go out here instead. Oh, well, you know, today it's fine. I was busy. I didn't get up early enough. So this devotion or the time in prayer, I'll just make up at a later time. It's
yeah.
like, no, like, continue to discipline even your energy and mm-hmm. where you're putting that to make sure that he gets the best.
Right.
So that was the first thing that I wanted to say that I felt related to this.
Yo, which is a fire place to start off. I like urgency was the word that stuck out to me. You said you remain urgent. I like that a lot. And it really goes hand in hand with my point and also goes into what I spoke about the other week with my episode. I was talking about essentially your mind and controlling your mind and how the body is the servant of the mind. If y'all haven't tapped in, go tap in. But what you do outwardly, your actions are a reflection of what you believe and what goes on up here. Like what your, the thoughts and the thought processes that you are perpetuating in your mind. So I think with this conversation, it starts with how to keep that urgency is remembering the truth of like who God is. You know, like genuinely believing when it says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry again. Right. In John 4 with the Samaritan woman, he says, like, you know, you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But those who drink from my water will never thirst again. Like genuinely believing that that's the truth. And I think, hold on. Before that, I saw this video on TikTok that actually goes so well with this. And I wish I remember the woman's name, but she's an influencer. She's a believer and she makes content, but I wish I remembered her name. But she was sitting down doing this interview with this guy and she asked him essentially something along the lines of, if you read your word or if you drink water like you read your word, would you have to be in a hospital hooked up to IV? Like, and essentially making a parallel of that's what the word is. That's what prayer is. That's what those spiritual disciplines are. Like it's water. It's food. It's the essentials that feed your soul, that feed your spirit, and how a lot of us would be in the hospital. If we drunk water and ate food, like we read and pray, we would be in the hospital cooked. We'd be in the hospital hooked up on all types of stuff, making sure that our bodies are even functioning. And a lot of our spirits are in that handicapped state. Our souls are in a handicapped state because we're not, like I said, giving weight to these verses that I mentioned when Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. When he says, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. And once you fully recognize that, that's what will continue that urgency. Because it's like, it's water, bro. Like, I drink water even when I don't necessarily feel like it. You know what I mean? There might be some orange juice or like some soda in the fridge. But it's like, you know what? I ain't drunk water today yet. Let me make sure I get my water, because we understand the importance of it. And also at the same time, I think enough time, because this is what I noticed in my own life, enough time will show that that's the truth. Enough time with God, enough time walking through life has shown me that, nah, he really is the bread of life. Like, I can't, like, it really is. I'll never thirst if I go there. Like, and it shows you, sometimes it takes you, you know, I just think the truth will always show itself is essentially what I'm saying. And I think if you really studied your life, right? And if you haven't got to the point where you recognize, you will get to the point where you recognize, no, like, this is genuinely just the truth. Through the cause and effects of my actions, I've come to realize, like, nah, John 6:35 is a bar. Like, he really is the bread of life. He the well that never runs dry type of thing. But I think that's what will keep that urgency to continue to be diligent in responding to God, like you're saying, is recognizing that he really is what he says he is.
Yeah. I would just add to that, because to just affirm more of what you're saying, it comes down to the fact that you will never act on what you don't believe. And so the seed of faith that we have to know that he is who he said he is makes us continuously walk in a way that reflects that belief.
Yeah.
So now I wanted to add to the first point that I mentioned a verse, just so we have some Bible for it. But John 15:5, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And so this really stemmed from this idea of remaining in him and what that means. I recently had a conversation that brought a lot of perspective to this particular verse, and it was relating to this concept of abiding in God, and basically that meaning endurance. Like, you have to have endurance in continuously being attached to the one who gives life.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes through discipline. Like, when you think about endurance, I think about, you know, a very regimented schedule and perpetual, consistent, and just focused effort to make sure that you have the energy and you have the capacity, moreover, to stay connected and to run the race that you're on, no matter what the particular goal is or what you're running. If it's a marathon, 4K, 5K, whatever it is. And it's the same in our spiritual lives, mm-hmm. that, like, we must abide in him, remain in him.
Right.
And that comes through endurance, moreover.
Most definitely.
And obviously, you know, through what Jesus is speaking here, this is more of a testament to that. And the second thing that I wanted to mention is, okay, when it comes to staying consistent with God, I believe that you have to live slowly enough to think about God deeply. And what I mean by that is, we as people only have so much capacity.
Right.
Man, I can't remember. Oh my goodness. I can't remember where this thought originally came from, but we only have so much energy that we can give throughout our day, right? To different people, different activities, different extracurriculars or assignments or commitments that mm-hmm. we make. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes, even in our own life, okay, this is where it came from. Going back to last week, this is crazy how God's been doing this. Last week, I had committed to a lot of yeses, to be at different places, to support people here, to get lunch and do X, Y, and Z. But I committed to the point where I didn't have time for my priorities. Like, I had said yes into the things that weren't necessarily immoral, weren't necessarily pushing me away from where I needed to go, but it took my attention away from what needed a lot of my focus. And I think that we have to realize that we only have so much capacity to give. Therefore, we have to be very cognizant of that and manage that well, so we're not overcommitting to the point where we're just neglecting what we've said, no, this is what we really want to do.
Right.
And what I was thinking about is, we honor God when we're disciplined in our commitments to leave enough time to prioritize him.
Right.
And when we think about staying consistent, again, like as life happens and all these opportunities come up, you know, to spend time with friends and family and within our career, at school, or whatever it is, there's going to be all these things that are trying to take us away from the priority. And we have to be, and I never thought of it that way, be disciplined in our commitment. Like to, and this comes down to really, like, you know, you could say time management, but to really make sure that there's time set aside that never, that it's a non-negotiable, essentially. Like there's these daily non-negotiables within our life that we have to make sure that, you know, God has my attention, right? So live slowly enough to think about God deeply. But the only way to do that is if I have a properly aligned schedule.
Right.
And I'm not overcommitting to the point of draining myself and removing myself from what really gives me life and energy.
Mm.
Right. So it's, I'm coming into my day or into my week and into my month from a place where I'm filled instead of the opposite way around, thinking that these other things are going to do it. So for me, how I'm continuously, and I feel been doing a better job of staying consistent, it's just being very intentional and meticulous, like down to the T, and not just being, you know, wavering in realizing, oh wow, like no, my time is an offering, and that is worship within itself.
I've never thought about it like that, but that makes a lot of sense. It's like, you know, by the way you're setting up your days, by the way you're prioritizing what's important, I think sometimes you're not even allowing yourself the opportunity to be consistent sometimes, you know, because you're so busy, you got so much going on. And it's not even that you would say no to God if he was in front of you. You're just not even allowing time to be in front of him. You know what I mean? Like you would say yes. It's just you need to be intentional about having that time in your day. So I guess I've never thought about it like that, but that does make a lot of sense
to
me.
And I want
to
add one more thing that I had is the fact that you can't say yes to everything.
Mm.
And so when people always talk about, okay, like you need to give God a fresh yes. And in this season or in this moment, in this next level. And it's really hard to do that if that yes is already divided in so many different places, right? Like it that's something we have to steward. And that's what I'm also realizing. It's just this aspect of stewardship, even with the relationship with God, because we do it with our other friendships, right? Like we will set time aside for them and to make sure that that relationship is poured into and flourishing, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like it has to be the same way in a spiritual aspect, but that would be the only thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to add on to that something else that I was thinking about in terms of how to be consistent with God. And these next two points are very, I've actually never thought about these points before. I think sometimes when we have episodes, it'll be points that I've thought of before or maybe heard a verse about it and I'm getting like deeper understanding of it. But these are like things I feel like I've never really said or thought too deeply about. But for this one, I wrote, what you share publicly will hold you accountable in private. And let me expound. So this has to do with my music. This thought came from my music, right? So For those of y'all who don't know, I make music and I've been posting more consistently. So it's been very difficult to remain consistent. Like we understand it's discipline. It's not always easy. It's been hard. But something that has been keeping me consistent with posting and, you know, releasing music and whatnot is, it sounds crazy, but there's one video I posted at the beginning of the year. I literally declared, I posted it, I said, yo, I'm going to be more serious about music is essentially what I was talking about. This long video about, I don't want to die with any what ifs. I don't want to die with any potential left in me. I want to leave it all on the earth. I'm going to be more serious about music. I'm going to take it more seriously. So anytime I'm like, dog, I don't feel like it. Like, I don't feel like posting. I don't feel like releasing anything. I remember that video. And I'm like, bro, I'm going to look goofy. What do I look like? If I posted this whole video at the beginning of the year talking about I'm taking music seriously, and then I'll fall off a month later, I'll fall off 2 months later. And it's low-key as if every video I post, there's more ammunition of like, okay, well, this is what I've already been showing and what I've already been saying. Like, let me stick to my P's and my Q's. Like, let me remain consistent. And I guess it's this concept of holding yourself accountable. I think we talk about accountability in terms of, you know, people we have around us and community and all that is very vital and important, but we don't talk about accountability when it comes to like, what are you doing to hold yourself accountable? And back to my main point, I think what you share publicly will hold you accountable in private. So that looks different for all of us. And I think you could probably attest to this, like even with the podcast sometimes, it's like when there's moments where I haven't felt like, yo, I don't feel like reading my word, or I don't feel like, it's like, dang, we're Mr. and Mr. Faith, Life, and Culture. Like, you feel what I'm saying? Like, I can't really afford not to be consistent with God. And obviously, that shouldn't be your sole reason as to why you're going to God. But I think it can be ammunition. Like I said, that accountability, the more things that are anchoring you to God, the better. And that looks different for you, depending on who you are. Maybe that's your workplace. Maybe that's your school. You see what I'm saying? Like, for me, bro, most of the people I work with know what I stand on. You know what I mean? Like, I can't really afford to go in there and not be tapped in with God and have patience.
That's so good, bro.
And have patience and cuss somebody out, because it's like they know what I'm standing on. So it's like what I've shared to them publicly is like when I wake up in the morning and no one's watching, oh, dang, okay, let me. I don't feel like it, but I know I'm going to be in this environment later that's fast paced, and I need to have this patience. I need to be tapped into the Spirit. Let me make sure I'm reading. Let me make sure, you know, I'm praying, going before the Lord. And that might look like for you, like school. But the issue is for people who aren't publicly sharing, like, this is what I stand on. This is what it is, right? You're allowing yourself the opportunity to be consistent. You see what I'm saying? Because it's like, if no one knows I make music.
The opportunity to be inconsistent.
Oh, the opportunity to be inconsistent. If no one knows I make music, who cares if I'm inconsistent with the music? You see what I'm saying? If I never post that video, if I never release music, and it's just something I've internalized and only I know it, like I make music, it doesn't matter if I'm inconsistent. Nothing is holding me accountable to it. So it's like, what are you sharing publicly? Do the people at your school, do the people at your work, do the people at your sphere of influence, do they know what you're standing on? Because that's what's going to be another thing that's, you know, anchoring you to these disciplines. Because I can't afford not to walk into, I can't afford to walk into this place and not have, like, gone before the Lord today. Right? I can't afford to do it.
Yeah.
So hold yourself accountable in that sense. And just to reiterate the first point I said, like, what you share publicly will hold you accountable in private. So that's something I noticed while I'm music. I'm like, yo, that really applies to life, though. Like, that applies to everything, not just music, like your spiritual disciplines and what you believe and all of that as well, your faith. So, yeah, that's something that is very important to be noted as well.
Hater. Yeah. You have another one?
I do. So this one also is correlated to a conversation I was having recently about the gym. Shout out Brittany, shout out Valerie. They gym rats. But we were having a conversation about the gym. And there was a point in my life, I think I was like 17 or 18. So this was about three or four years ago, where I was in the gym consistently every day for maybe about 8 months, right? So that's where we're at. I was consistent in the gym for 8 months. But the only reason that I was going to the gym was to look good. You feel what I'm saying? I wanted to look good for the girls. I wanted the six pack. I was, I had some low self-esteem about my body. You know what I'm saying? I want to look big. That's the sole reason I was going to the gym, was to look good, which there's nothing wrong if that is a reason, but it was the sole reason. That's the issue. So what had happened was, after 8 months, I got to the point where I was satisfied with the way I looked. I was satisfied with my physique. So what happened was I stopped going to the gym. And obviously, in hindsight, that doesn't make sense because you have to upkeep it. But that's a whole nother conversation. But I stopped going because I got what I was looking for. You see what I'm saying? I got what I was looking for because that was my only motive. It was like, there's no other reason for me to be here. Like, what's the point? And God was showing me in my walk with him, I often do the same thing sometimes, where it's like, you have to ask yourself, why am I going into his presence? Why am I reading his word? Because oftentimes, if we're being honest, it's just for relief, to get peace from the worries of life, from the stress of life. So it's like, once I go into his presence and I get that, there is no reason for me to be here anymore. You see what I'm saying? Once I gain that relief, that peace, whatever that is, that momentary thing, that calm, there's no, like, I'm cool. And if I remain calm for the next 2 days, then guess what? I'm not in his presence for the next 2 days, because I got and until something pops off and I'm stressed again, then I go. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, your why behind why am I being consistent with these spiritual disciplines has to change. Because if it's something very surface level, like I just need peace, like I said, the moment you get it, you're gone. And I don't need to go back until I get that thing again. So it's like, are you going to God for the things he can give you, but for or for who he is type of thing. You know what I mean? Because if I'm going for who he is, genuinely, like his character, who he is, he's Father, I'm his son, he's master, I'm his servant. If I'm going for who he is, I'm never leaving because he's always, you see what I'm saying? He's always who he is. So it's not like I get it and then I'm gone. No, if it's for him, I want him 24/7. I'm never leaving his presence. You know what I mean? I'm always eager to enter back in. So that's something else as well. It's like you have to shift the motive of why am I even doing this? And sometimes it's subtle and it's subconscious and we don't even recognize we think that way. But like I said, your actions are a reflection of what you think. So if you're being inconsistent, you have to do some self-studying of like, why is that the case? Something is amiss if I'm being inconsistent. And I think for some of us, it might be that, you know, like, why am I going before his presence? Is it just for to gain this thing that he can give me instead of who he is? So that's a part of it as well. The motive of like, why are you even going into his presence? Because if it's for him, then you always going you're going to be eager to go back. You're going to be more consistent. So I think that's another thing that anchors you to those disciplines is recognizing what your motive is.
That's different, bro. That's not a conversation we have a lot. That's a whole nother different thing. But I will like, and I won't say intentionally, but definitely consciously do that. Like you have a moment where there's like a worship or prayer group and there's a huge like breakthrough that you have.
Right.
You come with a lot of weight, you leave lighter.
Most definitely.
And then, okay, I got what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? Like I have consciously done that before or
right.
been really stressed, like, got into my word or like put on worship music, felt the presence,
yeah,
had the relief,
you know what I'm
and
saying?
Then, you know, I didn't really give mine to God the rest of the day, the rest of the week, or etc.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's an amazing
It's
point.
So subtle though. Like that's the thing about it. And I want to reiterate the point I made with the gym and translating it here as well. I mentioned earlier how I was going to the gym to look good, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good and that being a motive, but it was the only motive. So there's nothing, bro, God is the Prince of Peace. There's nothing wrong with me going to God's presence to get peace, but is that the sole reason that I'm there? So I want to reiterate that as well, because I think that's a good point. There's nothing wrong with those moments where you feel that peace and you're like, oh my God, I feel so great. Like, God's there for that. Like, he wants to give you peace. You know what I mean? He wants to give you an easy yoke away from the anxieties and the stress of life. But it's like, don't take the yoke off. You know what I mean? And it's like, so that's what I wanted to mention as well. It's just, is it the sole motive? Always make sure the foundation of that motive and that why is God himself, because I think that's the differentiator between the people who get it and then I'm cool, and the people who get it, it's like, okay, no, let me make sure I'm still going back to the bread of life type of thing is, yeah. You know, what's the main motive type of
that's
thing.
That's it. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention was relating to the point that you made about what you share publicly will hold you accountable privately. And I was thinking about, again, in the vein of just relationships that we have here on earth and the ones that are natural to us that we can comprehend. I said, how many times have you gone out with friends, even when you didn't want to, but you were already committed, right? So like whenever you either earlier in the week, y'all was chatting and you like right. maybe either loosely or intentionally said, hey, no, I'll be there. I'll show up. I'll go with you.
Right.
And then the time comes, you definitely don't feel like it. You'd rather not. You're about to reschedule or cancel, but you are bound by your word.
Yeah.
And I think it just goes back to what you're saying. Like a lot of this is, I mean, the idea is discipline, but also it's integrity. It's character. It's how much weight do your words have?
Right.
To you and other people, because if it has no weight to you in terms of like being able to hold yourself accountable,
right,
then it's never going to translate in the commitments you're making to other people and even to God. So it's in that same way, because like that's what happened last week. Like there's a lot of things that I said that I was going to do, and these things were things I had to travel for. Like this wasn't like right. 15 minutes down the street. This was like 3 hours away.
Right.
And I woke up and it was a tiring week before I got to it. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if I want to go. But I gave them my word. And I just wish that we would take God seriously enough that whenever we feel we're trying to retreat from time with him or what he's called us to, that we just sit and we're like, but I gave him
my word.
And that's what, like, and that's one thing that I wanted to do this year. It's just like, I want my word to hold weight. Like, I didn't want to be flaky. I didn't want to be someone people couldn't depend on. And I don't want to be someone God can't depend on either. Like, yo, like, I gave him my word that I'd follow him, that I'd pursue holiness,
right,
that I'd stay consistent, that I'd walk in righteousness, that I'd live in love, that I would forgive, that I would be patient. I gave him my word.
Yeah.
All right. So when I want to isolate myself and I feel everybody that I work with is too far gone, I gave God my word that I'd be an example, that I'd be a light, that I'd go out and make disciples of all nations, irrespective of how I feel, what the moment is, what's going on. I gave him my word. And I remember I was listening to With the Perrys, and Dr. Eric Mason was on there. Something that he said that was really powerful was basically he had recently wrote a book and they asked him, what do you want people to take away from this? And he said that, I just wish we would take God seriously as Christians, in the sense that for those who know who Kobe Bryant is, he was infamously known for something called the Mamba mentality. And this mentality can be summed up in, you are going to be the greatest at whatever it is you committed to or put your hands to. It was a standard of greatness and relentless work and effort to just be the best. And he said, I wish we would have a Mamba mentality when it came to our relationship with God, that we want to be the best.
Yeah.
In forgiveness and love, crucifixion, through suffering, trials, like we would take it that seriously.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, like I never thought of it that way. So how seriously do we take God? And I think that comes down to this, like when it comes to being consistent, it really is that, when we can sum it up, it's just, yeah, how seriously we take him and just making sure that he really has our word. So that was the last thing I wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's tough, bro. A Mamba mentality thing is tough.
Very. but yeah, that was pretty much it.
Dang, that's good.
So yeah, there was a lot. That was fire. That
it was like some good nuggets in there, bro. 100%. Real talk.
Is there anything else or you good?
I got everything off my chest. You know what I mean? I left it all there on the floor. I left it all there on the floor. Post game interview.
All right. Yeah, just priority. Discipline and everything else. I can't remember everything I said to recap.
It was a lot.
Y'all got it, but y'all know what it is. We'll be back Friday. Yes,
indeed.
And yeah, so stay you,
stay real,
I stay humble. We'll catch y'all Friday.
Much love.